Hi, I'm Tony Rossi for the Christophers, and on today's show, I'll be talking about the beauty, joy, and truth that art can convey with Christopher award-winning illustrator Katie Betts. Katie did a fantastic job illustrating the children's book, I Forgive You, so we are going to explore the faith and philosophy that inspire all her work. Stay with us. Christopher Close-Up starts right now. Hello and welcome to Christopher Close-Up. I'm Tony Rossi, and my guest today is Katie Betts, the illustrator of the Christopher Award-winning children's book, I Forgive You, Love We Can Hear, Ask For, and Give. To quote the opening line of the bio on her website, Katie Betts grew up in Southern California, where she learned how to sit patiently in freeway traffic, ride out earthquakes, surf cold waves, and paint awesome pictures. Well, that talent for painting awesome pictures led her to work in children's literature and other forms of illustration, and also to be a professor at Ringling College of Art and Design. The great thing about Katie's art is that it conveys depth and joy and hope, and that all stems from who she is as a person. Joining me now to discuss her life and her work, I'm happy to welcome to Christopher Close-Up, Katie Betts. Katie, thanks so much for being on the show today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Now, as a man in my 40s, I know I'm not the target audience for your illustrations, but I want to start out by saying that they still resonate with me because you've got such attention to detail. The drawings, especially in the book I Forgive You, which just won a Christopher Award for you and Nicola Tafe, they just have this inherent sense of hope to them. When you're illustrating books for kids like I Forgive You or your upcoming one, My Pet Spider, what gets you in touch with the child inside yourself?
Oh, great question. I would say I actually have a bulletin board in my studio with little memories of certain artifacts and things and photos. Mm-hmm. And so I often try to go back to what it felt like to be a kid and, you know, even just what it felt like to be shorter, you know, and looking up at adults and how the world was so big and kind of confusing. And I also have two nieces that I talk with all the time, and so they're 7 and 5.
Okay.
And I, you know, I recall what it's like just through hearing them talk about everything that awes them and, you know, their latest book that they've read and stuff like that. So mm-hmm. that helps me to bring it through my work.
Right, right. Well, you do an especially good job of capturing the emotions on a person's face. Are you a people watcher who uses everything you see in your work?
Absolutely. That's something that myself being a professor, I teach my own students, and being an illustrator, I just was traveling this past weekend, and I have my sketchbook with me all the time, and I sit in the airport and draw people, make caricatures of people, and I hope that they never come ask for me to show them, because they'd probably not be flattered, but yes, definitely. And, you know, for a lot of those things, we're kind of like animators in the sense that we look in the mirror and use our own expressions. I personally act out all the movements and the expressions because it helps me to get it. To feel right, you know, and look right on the page.
Okay. Well, most of us think of the author as the storyteller of a book, but as the illustrator, each picture has to tell a story too. How did you approach illustrating I Forgive You, for instance?
Let's see. Well, I have to give Nicole great credit because of the way she writes it, using such great visual metaphors.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, how did I approach it? I tried to keep it whimsical mm-hmm. and fun and just use a level of charm in
yeah.
some of the characters still. But I really wanted to do justice to her visual metaphors by showing how the animals and the characters kind of relate to what the concepts are expressing.
Yeah, yeah. I'm talking to Katie Betts. She's the illustrator of the Christopher Award-winning book, I Forgive You, Love We Can Hear, Ask For, and Give. Did the philosophy and lessons of the book also resonate with you? Did that make it easier?
Oh, deeply, yes. Honestly, out of, you know, some of my freelance work that I have is just commercial work, and there's no underlying moral necessarily to some of them. And so to work on I Forgive You, it just, I was so thrilled to get to finally work on a book that was obvious. You know, it was actually teaching a clear message. And that, to me, just was so rewarding, because everybody needs forgiveness, and in my own life I need forgiveness. So to be able to teach kids that lesson through my work was just, I felt like I was being able to really glorify God through it, you know?
Yeah.
It was cool.
Well, no, I agree. I mean, it's great for the kids, and I think everybody out there who's got sons, daughters, nieces, nephews, they should pick this book up. But I have to say also, as an adult, it works for me, too, because if you don't have time to read, like, a 200-page book about forgiveness, this book kind of captures it all. It's about, you know, learning to forgive, learning to be forgiven, about not letting people walk all over you, about asking God for forgiveness. So this book covers a lot of ground for, I think, people of all ages. So, you know, if you're a parent reading it to your kid, I think you're going to get something out of it, too. So people should pick up I Forgive You. Are there plenty of adult lessons, too, you think, in this book?
Oh, completely. There's a great quote by C.S. Lewis, and he says, "Someday you will be old enough to start reading fairy tales again."
That's great.
I think that just says it perfectly, because, you know, we kind of dismiss it as adults because it's not complex. But that's the beauty of it, and that's the beauty of fairy tales and just picture books, because the metaphors do hold the deeper truths.
Yeah.
And so there's enough in that book to remind us as adults to forgive just as much.
Absolutely.
We need a reminder as well.
Absolutely. And you mentioned before this book as glorifying God. And I was reading through your blog, and I got the impression that you're happy that when you can integrate themes of faith into your work. Does that stem from your own faith or philosophy of life? Is faith an important part of your life?
Yes. Faith drives everything that I do. That's my meaning in life. My purpose is God, just glorifying God. So it comes through in my work. I mean, people sometimes think, well, if you're a Christian and you're an artist, then everything that you do has to, you know, be religious themed. But that's not the case. I mean, my own working studio philosophy is creating space for imagination. And I have a blurb about it on my website, but to narrow it down, it's just using visual puns and visual symbols to create something that can wake people up inside and kind of stir their sense of awe. And I think that that is something that I definitely want to carry through in my own personal work, and when I have the opportunity in the commercial work as well.
Yeah. Well, you have an illustration called Divine Dependency on your blog, and that one that one requires a little more, I think, reflection. And you write that it was therapeutic. How was that therapeutic for you?
Oh, yes. I'm glad you asked about that one. That one's a really personal piece, and I basically use my work to explore ideas and lessons that I'm currently learning. So in that piece, I had just heard a sermon on Sunday about divine dependency and how we're umbilically connected to the Holy Spirit, and how what we speak and what we do, you know, we have to humble ourselves and let the Holy Spirit flow through us. And so sometimes, you know, you feel like you're swimming or you're drowning, and, you know.
Yeah.
And so that was like a symbol of being an infant and really letting God you know, move through you. And then there's also an eagle up in the corner, and that's because currently I've had a conviction that I need to be more involved in current affairs and politics, and just being more knowledgeable so that I can talk with people about that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that represents the our American symbol of left wing, right wing, and finding the balance and all that stuff.
Okay.
You know, that one I don't expect anybody to look at that and be like, oh, I get it.
Uh-huh.
It definitely is cryptic, and that's
okay.
The point. So, you know, but it was fun for me to kind of just, as I sit and paint, it's very meditative and it allows me to contemplate what I'm experiencing and going through. So.
Okay, so that's why it was therapeutic, and art in general can be therapeutic for you, is the sense I get, right?
Yeah. And you know, I do believe you can make art for art's sake, but I see it as a huge platform, and it's a gift from God to communicate with people. So for me, it's more about art for God and for my neighbor, you know, than anything.
Right.
Not just for myself.
Mm-hmm. I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close-Up. I'm talking to Katie Betts. She's the illustrator of the book, I Forgive You, Love We Can Hear, Ask For, and Give. It was written by Nicole Latif, illustrated by Katie, recently won a Christopher Award. Katie has also illustrated some other books called, like, Some Pig in the City, First Friend, Best Friend. She has another book coming up called My Pet Spider. And really, one of the founding principles of the Christophers was that, every person has unique gifts, and we can use them to glorify God. But like you said, it doesn't necessarily have to be in a religious setting. It's more like the just using what you were supposed to do. In a way, you're fulfilling your nature, and that alone is what God wants you to do. So Is that something you came to understand, that this was, in a way, a fulfillment of what God wants you to do early in life? Like, how did the whole illustrator path get going?
Oh, yes. It eventually revealed itself to me. I've been a Christian since, mid-high school.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got into college, I traveled to Europe, and that, I would say, made it clear to me that this is doable, because a lot of my childhood and growing up, you hear, art is a hobby, it's not a real career path,
yeah.
You need to do something else. And going to Italy, seeing the Vatican, the Sistine Chapel, all that stuff,
mm-hmm.
and in even France, the Gothic cathedrals and the stories of the Bible and the stained glass windows, that to me was saying, this is a huge legacy, this is a way to communicate God's truth and his redemption.
Mm-hmm.
And so I realized, oh my goodness, this is my calling, I need to do this. And so that a lot of the travels was how I really came through as knowing that I was supposed to do this.
Okay.
So.
Well, what kind of art inspired you as a child, even before that? Because I'm guessing art did play a little role in your, your younger years, too, not just in teen years.
Yeah. I look at some kids that are young and doing art at, age 10,
mm-hmm.
or having private lessons, and I never really had that opportunity or experience. I was really into sports as a kid, so
okay.
And it was later in high school and even community college that I realized I love to draw. What should I do with this?
Mm-hmm.
So as a kid, I loved Where the Wild Things Are and
okay.
all the popular books of that day and age. I loved the Berenstain Bears.
Mm-hmm. Sure, yeah.
And Disney. I was big into Mickey Mouse.
Mm-hmm.
And so it really started to click with me as a, 18-year-old going to Europe and seeing Vermeer and Rubens and
mm-hmm.
all these big, epic, Christian-themed paintings.
Yeah.
So that was it for me, really.
Okay. Well, a while back you received an honorable mention in something called the Rising Kite Illustration Contest for a piece you did called The Gift of Tears, which is an unusual concept. So tell me a little bit about that, because I think that's another painting of yours that has a Christian theme to it.
It definitely does. That was inspired by, let me just start to say, I cry a lot. I don't know if it's because I'm emotionally, easily moved by beautiful things or whatever, but I feel like it's cathartic, and I am embarrassed in public to do it, but I do. I cry a lot, and I think it's cleansing and healthy, and
mm-hmm.
I wanted to take this character. Well, actually, there was a prompt for that, and it was Robin's gift was different than all the others, and it was a competition, so I had this inkling that everybody else would be showing kids opening presents or, getting a Christmas gift or whatever,
mm-hmm.
stuff like that. So I wanted to totally do something off the wall, and so I thought about the gift of tears, where you can weep for the sins of the world and, that kind of background for this girl, this character, and
mm-hmm.
I was also trying to create a portfolio piece that would be like a book cover.
Yeah.
So this girl has this uncontrollable flow of tears that goes through her, and that is her gift.
Yeah.
That's definitely a piece that is meant for different commercial usage, but it has a faith influence.
Yeah. Well, no, it's a beautiful picture of her, and it's an interesting insight, because, like you said, we don't usually think of tears as a gift, but everybody feels them, and letting them out can be a good thing. And actually, I like the whole, your whole story idea. And, as reading through your blog, and I'm thinking, Katie's also a good writer. So have you ever thought about being both author and illustrator at some point?
Yes, definitely. I recently got an agent, and so now I feel even more encouraged to write, because it's like learning a whole new craft, like learning to play the violin. But I have these crazy ideas, and I know that there are stories in them.
Uh-huh.
It's a matter of taking that step of faith and saying, okay, if God wants me to do this, he's going to help me.
Mm-hmm.
I can do this, you know. So it's funny, there are two big ideas that I'm currently working on. And just the other day, I opened up an old sketchbook, and I had scribbled in one of the corners, "It's time to begin, isn't it?" And I thought, oh my goodness, that's a sign.
A message.
So, yeah, I definitely am developing that end of it, and I would love to be an author-illustrator, because, you know, and then I can really, I can express these ideas and thoughts that I'm being moved by. So.
Yeah. I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close-Up. I'm talking to illustrator Katie Betts. She's the illustrator of the Christopher Award-winning book, I Forgive You, Love We Can Hear, Ask For, and Give. She also illustrated Some Pig in the City, First Friend, Best Friend, another book upcoming called My Pet Spider. Now, you know, even though you're a professional illustrator and a professor, how important is it for you to keep learning and to get advice from other artists?
Oh, it's critical. I have a good friend of mine who is also a Christian. We call each other every Friday and encourage each other. We share books that we're reading.
Mm-hmm.
We look at each other's work and say, that's good. This needs a lot of work, you know.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So we're constantly sharpening each other. The art community, everybody knows how hard it can be, so everybody's really supportive. And I seek it out because I know that I need it. So I definitely stay tied in closely.
Okay. I mean, you repeatedly bring up your faith in that. I'm just wondering, has your life of faith, journey of faith, so to speak, has it been a straight line? Have there been struggles that took you back and forth and winding roads?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. yeah, and, you know, I would say my path to adulthood was pretty straightforward. You know, I didn't get into major trouble as a kid. I've always had a strong faith, and I've always felt a heavy conviction for, you know, just seeing God everywhere, seeing him in nature, in mm-hmm. other people.
Yeah.
And it's really tied me in closely to, you know, following him. And I'm grateful for that, and I have a family that has helped support my faith and encouraged me through all the low moments,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Especially when I didn't know what I was supposed to do or where I was going.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and being an artist, you doubt yourself a lot, and luckily I have friends and family that are of faith and also see it as a calling. So they're saying to me, you know, you need to do this. You've been gifted with this.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, it's been up and down, but drastic.
Oh, okay. Well, but so do prayer and scripture reading or something else, do those things keep you grounded? It sounds like just the simple act of illustrating, not that it's simple, but the act of illustrating keeps you grounded in your faith. Are there other things that keep you spiritually grounded too?
Let me think. Yeah. For me, being spiritually grounded comes through being outside,
mm-hmm.
walking through nature. I have to be outside.
Uh-huh.
So that is one. And reading books, I feel like constantly keeps me thinking, and I feel like I'm constantly asking questions,
yeah.
and kind of bringing them to God and saying, okay, what about this? You know?
Yeah.
And so... I would say being in nature and even listening to ideas of other people and trying to explore them and double check it across the scriptures and work it out through my artwork. And that's kind of how I stay grounded.
Yeah. No, I think it's...
Sounds weird, I guess, but...
No, I mean, it's a little bit of everything. And like you said before, you tend to see God in everything, which I think that too is a gift in life. And the fact that you try to bring that into the art that you create and just to the way you live your life, you know, that's a way, you know, you keep yourself spiritually grounded. And I think you know, when you're that way, I think it kind of shines through to other people. So you may be helping other people be spiritually grounded through your art and your life as well. So, no, I think it's a perfect answer.
Cool, good, you get it, yay!
Absolutely. I'm talking to Katie Betts. She's the Christopher Award-winning illustrator of the book I Forgive You, Love We Can Hear, Ask For, and Give. It's a great children's book. Now, you mentioned before you're a teacher at Ringling College of Art and Design. Mm-hmm. Now, being able to illustrate is one talent, but being able to tell others how to do it is a separate talent, I think. So how do you approach your students in order to draw the best out of them?
Oh man. I absolutely love my students. I didn't realize teaching was a thing I would be into mm-hmm. until graduate school. But I don't know. I really find people interesting. So I think sitting and listening to them, and mm-hmm. I think they can, from the reviews that I've gotten, that makes a big difference is when they see that you actually care.
Okay.
And I do. I really care about them because God loves them, and they're, you know, they're souls. They're not just mm-hmm. kids that you have to deal with, you know. So kind of listening to them and seeing what they're creating and where they want to go with it, and then being, I don't want to say stern with them, but, like, I guess I can't think of the
giving word. Giving them guidance? Or
guidance that is, it's constructive criticism.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
So helping that way, yeah.
Does their creativity inspire your own?
Oh, my goodness, yes. It's a cyclical thing.
Uh-huh.
It's humbling because we have amazing students, very talented. And seeing, you know, their ideas and their enthusiasm inspires me. And I go home and work on my stuff, and I bring it into the classroom, and it inspires them. So feel constantly excited, which is such a blessing because my work doesn't feel like work. I love going to school to teach these people, and it's a positive, creative environment mm-hmm. every day. And the only downside of it is grading. I don't like doing that. But other than that, it's awesome.
Good. Well, I mean, you know, I was, as we were talking, I'm reminded of this Flannery O'Connor quote that I like. She once said, in the long run, a people is known not by its statistics or statements, but by the stories it tells. And I'm just wondering, in the long run, what kinds of stories do you want to be known for?
Ooh, well, something, that's a great question. Something that is epic, that really helps people fulfill their potential that God has given them while they're on earth. That sounds huge, mm-hmm. but if I could briefly tell you, there's a story that I'm working on right now,
sure.
and I see it as maybe not as epic as Lord of the Rings or something like that.
Okay.
It's called Guardians of the Heart, and it's based on Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. And I find such wisdom in that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, basing scripture around it, there's another verse in Hebrews 1:14 that talks about angels. You know, what are angels but ministering spirits sent mm-hmm. to serve those who will inherit salvation? And so the story would be written to show people that, hey, you are called to know Christ and you need to guard your heart and live your life honoring him. But it would be, you know, high fantasy or
right.
something like that. So that's the kind of work that I would like to produce in the day I leave Earth, leave it behind. And, you know, I would love to be known for that work like that.
That would be, so you take inspiration from things like Lord of the Rings, and I guess you mentioned C.S. Lewis earlier, the Narnia stories.
I'm a huge fan of all that. And, you know, the crew that goes with them, Madeline Lingle and George MacDonald and
sure.
all those people. So
yeah, they spiritually infuse their stories, but at the same time, they don't hit you over the head with it. You have to kind of read it implicitly into the story.
Yes.
So.
Yes, that's the beautifully, beautiful way to use their creativity, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Well, now, at the Christophers, we use the motto, it's better to light a candle than curse the darkness, which is inscribed on the back of your Christopher Award. So
yes.
I'm just wondering, when you hit times of darkness in your life, where does the light come from? Do you find it yourself? Does it come from an outside source? How do you have the light and the courage and the hope to keep moving forward?
Oh, gosh. I'm trying to think of different experiences. It's come from different sources and during different dark times. Sometimes I'm a I I'm an introvert, and I like to spend time alone, and sometimes it comes from just quiet time with the Lord, reading the scripture or just being outside in nature. Other times it has to come from somebody else, and that's why relationships, and that's why forgiveness is so important, so that you can have relationships.
Sure.
Because God uses other people to pull you out of those moments, and my friends have definitely done that for me. And sometimes it comes through, you know, little snippets that I see walking around, or as I flip open my sketchbook and see an old quote, you know, it kind of pulls me back out of the darkness and reminds me, okay, there's hope in this. You got to keep your head up and keep going.
Absolutely. I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close-Up. I've been talking to Katie Betts about her illustrations in the book, I Forgive You, Love We Can Hear, Ask For, and Give. It's written by Nicole LaTafe and illustrated by Katie. And like she was talking before, she tends to see God in everything. And I think that comes through her artwork. You'll see it in the book, I Forgive You, which I think you should pick up for your kids. There's just an attention to detail and an inherent hope in all the pictures. A great piece of work. But also she sees God in everything. So I think that comes through in her work. She has respect for all the people and the incidents she's illustrating in her life. So go to katiebetts.com. You can see more of her work, more of the paintings we talked about today, the illustrations like The Gift of Tears, Divine Dependency, Guardians of the Heart, and all that stuff. And I think we'll be seeing illustrations and writings from Katie in the future. So, Katie, thanks so much for all you do and for talking to me on the show today.
Thank you so much, Tony. It's been great.
Now, before we end today's show, here's a message the Christophers would like to share with you.
In a world with millions of distractions, it's all too easy to lose sight of God in the midst of housework or homework or a hard day at the office. Yet God continues to speak to you, even in your busiest or most distracted moments. That's why the Christophers have prepared a news note called Listening When God Speaks. It shares stories about people who have learned to recognize God's voice in their lives and offers advice on how you can do the same. To request your free copy of Listening When God Speaks, send an email to radio@christophers.org or call our toll-free number at 1-888-298-4050. That's 1-888-298-4050. We look forward to hearing from you.
In closing, I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in today, and I encourage you to visit our website at christophers.org to learn more about the Christophers and to download free literature and podcasts. When you're there, you can also find links to our blog and our Facebook and Twitter pages. And if you have any questions or comments about the show, you can send an email to radio@christophers.org. Our engineer for today's show is Brian Bonifacio, and I'm Tony Rossi, your host. Thanks again for joining us, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.